Hey, greetings, this is Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. How are all of you saints or any of you seekers that are listening? How y'all doing today? I got a testimony for you today and a little bit of a teaching, mostly a testimony. This is called Obedience to Love, Then Eternal Life, my testimony of obedience. All the glory goes to God. I'm nothing without His Word and His Spirit. Let me read to you Revelation 12:11, one of my favorite verses. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Isn't that awesome? We're going to overcome by the blood, the word of our testimony. I'm going to give you a testimony today. They loved not their lives unto death. What are we to be loving? We're to be loving our Savior and our King and our God. Amen. So I'm going to get to that testimony, but first, what's the great command per Jesus? Two of the great commands. Love God, love your neighbor, right? Well, how do we love God? Most people have this very wrong. It's not a heartfelt feeling. It's not keeping man-made traditions and church rituals. How do we love God? Well, 1 John 5:3-4 says, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcome the world, even of our faith. So we see we obey God by keeping His commandments. This is how we're going to overcome the world. Loving God, loving Him, and keeping His commandments in obedience. There's freedom in this. Love leads to eternal life and freedom. I teach about three freedoms. Free in Christ, be born again by the gospel, faith in His shed blood and resurrection. Repent, turn from your sin and the world and false religion. Be born again by the Spirit of God when He sees a willing vessel. Strive in holiness and obedience in all your ways, keeping His commandments for today, and endure in your faith. Freedom number one in Christ, debt free. Don't let people control you because of debt and foolish money decisions. And three, be free from the world system. Your job, your career, whatever you have to do to provide for you and your family, make sure it doesn't cause you to sin, corrupt your faith, weaken you. I just wanted to throw that in there, three freedoms. And you know, when I give you this testimony, it reminds me of the many, many saints I've known that have come so close to freedom and liberty. Breaking out to fully obey, love, serve God, but they hold back. They hold back on some sin. They keep disobedience. They stumble because of it. I don't know if God removes the light He gave them or doesn't give them the strength. And most all, I have seen over the years, most all, never get back to where they were once again. They hold on to some sin, not Jesus and His Word fully. I always like to tell people, Christ is a life rope to us. We're lost in a raging sea. We're lost in a pit of quicksand. This gospel of Jesus is thrown to us. And He's our only hope. He's our only way out. And it's a free gift. And no one could do it without Him, right? You need that rope. But what do you got to do? You got to latch onto that rope with two hands. Because if you just hold on to one hand, that's a weak faith. And if you're reaching for sin and material things and people or looking back like Lot's wife, that rope's going to slip through your hand. That's your faith fading. That's your endurance fading. That's not obeying, holding on, loving Him most. That rope's going to slip out of your hand and it's gone. Christ is our life rope. Hold on to it with all that you are. And Jesus said in Matthew 10, as I'm leading up to this testimony, I'm laying some groundwork here, be ready to lose your life to find it. Well, I got a tale to tell you, to encourage you, about my testimony of losing my career for Christ. I was working for a billion-dollar company as a salesman, every 2 years getting a brand new car, throwing lots of money in my 401k, great salary, great benefits, lots of freedom, driving around. And when I became a Christian, as I worked for this company, I began to grow in Christ and things began to change. Yeah, I was a really worldly guy to begin with, but things began to change and the Word of God was going deep in my soul and I was born again by His Spirit and I knew I had to obey as I learned the Scriptures. We had no one to help us. I was stumbling around learning. A couple of things I had to start giving up on this job. This job was my whole life, right? I mean, it was my income, it was my security. A couple of things I had to give up. They used to go out and have lots of meetings at bars and there was lots of drunkenness. And I had expressed that I really didn't want to sit around the bar afterwards. I'd do the meeting, then I'm out of there, I'm gone. Drunkenness, debauchery. Well, that didn't go very well. Salesmen like to sit around and drink and talk trash and talk worldly. I had to draw a line. My boss knew I was a Christian. I had witnessed to all of them. And so I had to draw a line, and that caused division. They one time tried to get me to sit through some Buddhist New Age mind control classes. After the first day, not even the finished first day, I went to my boss and said, I ain't doing this no more. How come, he said? I said, it's Buddhism, it's New Age, I can prove it to you. You want me to show you? Nah, don't show me, all right. You don't have to go through with it. Well, that caused a wedge between me and my management. One day, my boss, who hated the things of God, he had a God of his own making, after a sales meeting, screamed and yelled at me and told me I couldn't have a Bible in my sales car, even though I never read it during work or pushed it on any customers. He said, you can't have a Bible in your sales car. Your faith is driving me crazy, Polinick. And I said, is there a rule in the company that says I can't have a Bible in my car? I mean, they talked about sports and women and porn and worldliness and garbage, hunting, fishing all the time, but I couldn't just have a Bible in my car to read on my lunch break. He yelled, he screamed at me. I thought I was going to get fired that day. I stood up to my boss. That caused another division between me and my management, as you could tell. I had to stand up against their worldly ways. I eventually, as I grew, got tired of being anything linked to the NFL. They loved the NFL. They gave out tickets. They gave out calendars. They did events. And I said, I'm not doing that stuff anymore. I have to separate myself. That's not of God. The NFL is violent. It's rowdy. It's prideful. It's supporting the LGBT, gay, sodomite community. I can't be part of that. Well, that drove a huge wedge because they were huge into the Green Bay Packers, like a cult. Finally, so these were all steps of obedience I want to share with you that I was taking because I loved God and I wanted to serve Him more than anything. And it was scary at first, but each step I took, I got deeper into my faith and I said, I'm not turning back. And the Spirit quickened me and the Word quickened me. I want to share with you probably the last straw, the last straw that I saw before they got rid of me. I got convicted about my clothing, wearing tucked in shirts and tight sales clothing, polo shirts and tight pants. So I decided to go when I learned about tunics covering up our form. God did that in Genesis 3:21. Killed an animal, archetype of Jesus shed blood, covers mankind in a tunic-like garment, long untucked shirt is all a tunic is, and it never changed. I decided to buy the biggest polo shirt. I tell you this, saints, to encourage you to step up and obey, and I'm going to show you the result of it. So hear me out. I decided to buy the biggest, baggiest polo shirt I could find. And I bought it, and I wore it untucked. One day, I got called to an office for the sales meeting, and my boss said, hey, come here. And he came in, I went in his office. I had witnessed to him. He was a worldly Lutheran guy, said he believed in Jesus, didn't care about God's word. He loved his hunting dog and the Packers more than he loved God by his fruit. And he called me in his office, and he said, what's that, Polinick? And he pointed to my untucked, big, baggy polo shirt. And I said, well, John, you know I'm a born-again Christian. He goes, yeah, what's it have to do with that? And I said, well, I'm learning that we're supposed to cover our forms up. And I said, so this is how I'm going to wear my polo shirt from now on. And he said, what? And I said, yeah. And I said, would you like me to show you in Scripture? No, I don't want to see it, he said. And he looked at me and he said, you're really set on this, aren't you? And I said, I am. And he said, you look sloppy. And I looked at him and I said, hey, John, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And he goes, yeah, I told you I do. And I said, if Jesus stood in your office with his tunic-like garment on, because that's what he wore, or how about Apostle Paul? Would you call them sloppy? He put his head down and he said, you are really stuck on this, aren't you? And I said, oh, it's just obeying God. It's my reasonable service. He said, okay. And that was probably one of the final straws. Eventually, not too long after that, Sister Debbie and I were preparing. We knew what was coming. I was doing everything I could that I thought God was calling me to do, but I knew change was coming. They called me to one of the sales meetings out at a gas station somewhere that we used to meet, and they said, your position has been dissolved. And they fired me, okay? It was awesome, though, because I got to witness for 30 minutes in the parking lot to my boss and the HR person and tell them, don't live for this life, don't live for this job, don't live for sports. They stood, they listened. They were more afraid that day than I was. He was shaking like a leaf. I guess he thought I was going to be upset or something. And then it was absolutely amazing. Let me finish out my testimony. So they take my sales car, because of course I have to give up my car, and they said, you need a ride home. I said, no, my wife's just down the road. I said, I'll walk over to a restaurant, her and I'll have lunch, and she'll pick me up. And they said, you sure? I had my car all cleaned out, ready to go. I knew this day was coming. The Spirit had told me it was coming. It was time for a change. I had been witnessing to everybody off the job after hours and had tons of enemies there because of the truth of God. I was a good salesman, not the best salesman, because the best salesmen have to lie, twist the truth, wrangle, be worldly. But I did my job. I was a good salesman. Never got written up for anything. But they fired me. Anyway, I walk from that gas station. Oh, what a testimony this is. Well, first, let me go back. So, did you see the steps? I was obeying God. I was seeing what I had to do. I was doing what God's Word and Spirit called me to do. And those little steps of obedience, though hard to kill my flesh, hard to stand against the culture. You know, when they said, oh, you're not coming to Christmas parties no more? Well, I never did from the beginning. I said, no, I don't do Christmas and pagan holidays. It was like they thought I was like some weirdo or something. And so it was very, very strange how it all went down. My obedience to God's word is what spit me out of that company in the end. And let me share something with you. The same day, 10 minutes, now half an hour, I witnessed to him for half an hour, after they fired me, I'm walking across about a quarter mile to a Subway sandwich shop. I'm going to call Sister Debbie. She's going to come get me. I know she's going to be ecstatic because she was happy when I left that job. And I know that that's where her heart was. And I'm walking, and I'm saying as I'm walking, carrying my little briefcase with all the stuff that was in the car, whatever I had in there, and I'm saying, Lord, what's next? I probably should get a job. I'm too young to retire, aren't I? I got a college business degree. A lot of good that did me. It's pretty worthless to me. But should I go get a job? Or I'm like, Lord, do you want me to go into ministry? Is something else coming up? And literally, saints, as I step up to the Subway door to open it, and I was like, Lord, show me a sign. What should I do next? I opened the door, and there's my old pastor sitting in the Subway shop in a booth with his son. This was a town of 600 people. It was 7 years since I had been in his religious building, and I never ran into him ever until that day. And I said, Lord, and I had been involved in online ministry already, calling out some false teachers in the area, teaching some things. I was new in the faith, but I was teaching some things. And I was like, should I be expanding more into this, Lord? I opened the door. There's my false Assembly of God pastor, where I used to go before I was... Long story there. Didn't go there very long. Saw through it really quickly. I walked over and I said, I need to talk to you, Jim. He was always putting me off, never wanted to talk about the biblical gospel, never wanted to talk about holiness, didn't want to talk about Christmas and Easter, why they're keeping them. I said, let me sit down. I sat down. I think I ruined their lunch that day. I know I did. And I started asking him questions, and someday I'll do a whole testimony on that. But he ended up running from that place, not wanting a gospel I gave him. And I'm like, Jim, I love you. You're in lies. You're not in the truth. He didn't want nothing to do with what I had to say that day. Okay? And he ran off, typical modern false feminized paganized pastor. Here's the point, saints. All those steps that I took, that I shared with you, those were all ordained of God for my life. Right? Standing against their worldliness, their pagan holidays, their anger over just having a Bible in my car, their Buddhist mind training, their worldly dress standards. Standing against all that is what spit me out, and it put me today where I am. When I meet people out in the street and they talk about obedience, I say, if it wasn't for the obedience that the Word of God and the Spirit of God called me to, I wouldn't be here today preaching to you. You wouldn't be getting this gospel. We wouldn't be on the gospel road. I'd still be working for some company. I'd have a lot more money, but I would not be the man I am today in the Scriptures because of the years I've spent studying and training and doing ministry. And by the way, that company gave me a severance package. I took those months off and built our website ministry and decided to go into full-time ministry. We did start a business for 2 or 3 years in between, kind of a phasing in. But we had gotten debt-free. We were prepared. We were ready. God got us ready. We were listening. We were ready to obey. We were stripping down our life in every way. Don't listen to these false churchianity people today that tell you you don't got to obey God. It's not about obedience. It's just about faith. They are liars. All right? They are liars. Remember the talent parable, Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Go read it sometime. If God gives you a little, what will you do to be faithful? And then will God reward you with more when you're faithful? Remember what happened? The guy that did nothing, his money was given to the guy that was wise and used the Lord's resources with wisdom. Doesn't mean you're going to make more money. What it means is God's going to give you more truth, more boldness, more encouragement, maybe more believers in your life eventually to help you, more knowledge, all right? Remember that. Go read that parable. Obedience is a key to loving God, life, and liberty in Christ, leading to eternal life. Jesus tells us, Matthew 28, 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded to you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Obedience is the marker of God's people and the Holy Spirit working in you. The Spirit comes to convict, teach, and comfort us. The book of John tells us that. I'm going to list a whole bunch, share a whole bunch of scripture verses with you to back up that testimony I gave you, that if I didn't start to obey, if I didn't take these baby steps, I would not be where I am today, and it's all to the glory of God. I'm boasting in Christ Jesus. I got nothing outside of Him and His Word and His Spirit. Some more words from Jesus. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Pretty clear. Doesn't say if you love me, just believe on me and don't do anything else. Keep my commandments. How about John 15, 4 through 6? Abide in me and I in you. As the branch, you cannot bear fruit of itself except ye abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, is withered, and men gather them up and cast them in the fire, and they're burned. Faith and works. Obedience. Very critical. Just today I had some mocker emailing. He told me it's prideful to try and obey God. He has no clue what he's talking about. Obedience is not pride or arrogance. It's not even works to gain heaven. We can't gain heaven without Christ's perfect righteousness. Obedience and holiness is the fruit of us striving because the Spirit of God is in us. He's made us new creations. And as Ephesians 2:10 says, moves us to good works that we've been called to. Amen. How about some more verses? Brother Apostle Paul, Romans 2:8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. Hey, what's coming if you don't obey? indignation and wrath. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself to be servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. You want to be righteous before God? You need Christ's perfect righteousness. I ruin mine, you ruin yours. But you want to be righteous before God? You strive to obey him because of what Christ has done for you. He's bought you with a price. You're not your own. What a glorious thing. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There's that word, obedience. It'll change your life. It leads to the love of God. It leads to liberty and eternal life. And the next verse, verse 6, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The Bible calls us to obey the word of God, the commandments of God for today. 1 Peter 1:2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Obedience. We obey God because we love him, because the Spirit's working in us. 2 Thessalonians 1:8. I use this verse all the time. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Part of the gospel to eternal life is us obeying God, faith and works. It's the fruit he's in us. Loving God, we read it, 1 John 5:3, is keeping his commandments. 2 Thessalonians 3:14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Hey, that goes against all the modern churchianity that says, well, we're all going to sin a lot, so let's just all get along in our sin. No, no. The Bible calls you to holiness and obedience, and if people don't obey in the true body of Christ, we avoid them until they repent, so they'll be ashamed. How about Hebrews 5:9? This is a bedrock verse. And being made perfect, he, that would be Jesus, became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. You see faith and works here? Do you see how obedience, these small steps we take as we're growing, God moves us along our faith journey and puts us where he wants us to be. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Wow, let me read that again. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Wow. Obeying the truth. So, so critical in the holy word of God. 1 Peter 4:17-19. For the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Oh, you don't obey? Big trouble. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Hello? Yeah. People tell you, oh, it's easy to get in, and you just believe and you make it in, no problem. No, Peter says if the righteous are scarcely saved, what will happen to the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as to unto a faithful creator. Yeah. We're going to suffer when we obey, but God will keep us if we cling to him. Saints, obedience matters. Don't let anybody tell you it doesn't. It is the proof and the fruit that God's in you, working in you, that you have a saving faith. It commands you to walk in his ways. It will grow you. It will move you along the path God wants you on. It will grow your spiritual life. It will grow your boldness. It will grow your faith. It will grow your love for God. It will grow your love for each other. And it will lead you to eternal life. Loving God, the great command, is obeying God, which leads to eternal life. It's not works. We could never work our way there because of what Christ has done for us. We need that. So just today I shared this scripture verse with a young, very, very young saint. That is such an encouragement to us, striving with the the word of God against her family that's religious but not obedient to God's word, willing to obey and suffer the persecution and the pressure. Wow, what a blessing. I shared Acts 5:29. Then Peter rose and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." The context here is they said, quit, the Pharisees said, quit going out and preaching that Jesus. Stop it. They beat him and everything. And they rejoiced when they got beat. All right, I know that feeling. And they said, "Now we're going to go back out. We got to obey God rather than men." I told this young saint, if your parents tell you things, you love them, you obey them, you honor them in all things until they cause you to sin and not follow after Christ. Then you must tell them, "I love you, but I love God more. I'll obey you, but I must obey God first." We ought to obey God rather than men. Saints, if you're around so-called saints, modern pastors, people in a pew, if you're starting to seek your neighbors, school friends, family members, and if they make excuses for any sin and tell you that it's okay to sin, you can be in sin, God overlooks your sin if you just live in it because of what Jesus did, run from them. They are leaven. Galatians 5:9 says, beware, a little bit of leaven affects the whole loaf. Do not rest yourself. Be around, associate with such people as that. Obedience is the key to loving God, leading to liberty, leading to eternal life. If you'll take those steps that God puts before you as you learn God's word, whether it's to cover your head, whether it's to dress biblical, whether it's to not associate with worldliness in your job, whether it's to break associations with false Christians, if it's to leave pagan holidays and your family persecutes you. There's so many, many examples in this wicked culture we live in. If you obey God in the small things, God will grow your faith. He'll honor you. The Bible says, draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. When you obey God, you're drawing near to Him. Guess what? God begins to draw near to you. Gives you strength, encouragement, boldness, assurance, comfort by the Holy Spirit. Conviction when you need it. But if you don't obey God, you quench the Spirit, you're out on your own. And remember what I warned you about. The saints I've seen that have tried to strive and not obey God, they end up trying to go it on their alone. They leave godly association. They leave the hard study, deep study of the Word of God. And they go, "I'm just going to make it on my own." I've never seen one person do that and actually go on to holiness. They all go on to worldliness, carnality, more flesh, and destruction. Don't let that happen to you, saints. I hope my testimony, how God moved me, how I obeyed, small steps, it spit me out of that job. It put me into ministry. Not everybody's going to do what I do, and I can't do what other people do. We're all called to do different things, but I can promise you, God has a calling for your life. He wants to move you along. If you're a young person, it may be saying no to a bad relationship. God's got something better for you down the road if you'll obey. If you're in a job that corrupts you and you go, "Wow, I can't lose my job," if you obey God, He's got something better and different for you. Strip your life down. Eliminate your debt. Eliminate your expenses. Do something simple. Do a low, meager job. Don't do that higher job. Obey God. He'll honor you. You'll end up being in ministry and go, "Wow, I wouldn't go back for $1 million." That's what I wouldn't. I wouldn't. So I hope this testimony has encouraged you. Obedience leads to liberty, eternal life, because we're loving God. Taking those small steps. Never, ever, ever think that one small thing, obeying God, is a small thing. It's not. Can I remind you, the world fell into sin because of one disobedient act of a woman and then a man, her husband, Adam and Eve. Can I remind you that Uzzah, the priest, touched the Ark of the Covenant trying to steady it, and God killed him and smote him because God said, "Don't touch my ark." Can I remind you, Moses wasn't allowed to go into the Holy Land because he struck the rock again when God said, "Don't do that." Can I remind you, in Acts 5, after grace and Christ had risen from the grave, God kills a husband and a wife for one lie. And Revelation 22 backs it up. 14 and 15 says, "Whoever loves and practices a lie will be outside." I tell you that to tell you that obedience matters. Small steps of obedience lead lead to greater works of holiness and loving of God, and your life will be magnified in the truth of God. Your witness, people are watching you. Your witness will be magnified as you obey small steps along the way, and all those small steps lead to a great journey of faith. Sister Debbie and I are still on it. We're still striving. We're still taking steps every day. A whole bunch forward. Yep, sometimes we take some backwards. We got to repent, and we got to get it right again. And we're here to encourage you. The saints that we know and we're united to are such a blessing to us. God gives the body to encourage each other, whether you're next to each other or halfway across the globe. And you know what? It's so sad when people will not obey God. They won't enter into accountable relationships. They won't enter into daily edification. Hebrews 3:13. Otherwise, they'd be swept up in sin. They won't study the Word of God. They won't look to love on other saints. And they end up casting themselves out in the world, out in false religion, out into their flesh. And again, it leads to destruction. So don't be part of that. Obey God's word as you see it. Our website, don'tperish.com, is there to help you. Go to the teaching blog. Go to the sisters blog. Pouring out to help you. Take these small steps of obedience to love God. Find liberty in Him. It all leads to eternal life and our glorious King. Hey, we love you all. I hope that testimony blesses you. Sometime I'll go into more depth on meeting that pastor on that day. I will never forget that. Our Father is so faithful. Trust Him. Walk in His ways. Obey each step. And we're here to help you. We love you all. Got to get down the gospel road. Preaching at a big festival tomorrow. May there be eyes to see, ears to hear. May God be glorified in it. Till next time. May God be praised.